Welcome to today's edition of the Blazing Gray Show with Jason Graves, Mike Janung, and Julie Dozier. Blazing Grace covers important life-affecting issues with grace-filled answers. Here are your hosts, Jason, Mike, and Julie.
Well, we're back in the studio with Debbie, who's the mom of a young man who struggles with same-gender attractions, talking about her story. And great to have you back, Debbie.
It's good to be back. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And Julie, boy, what a great show last time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there are so many parents out there who have nowhere to turn.
Right.
As homosexuality grows in our culture more and more in terms of quantity of people struggling, mm-hmm. but also the breadth of acceptance or pseudo-acceptance or even
right.
promotion in our culture of the same, there are more and more people coming forward. I'm sure you get calls. I get calls all
mm-hmm.
the time of parents wanting help. And so,
right.
Debbie, you know, we are very grateful for you sharing your story because you've got a lot of hope in you.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit, and you know, just to recap your story, you know, your son struggled for many years, got a lot of help for quite a while. You turned to a couple local ministries up in Denver, Where Grace Abounds, and sounds like you've had a lot of success. But where are you today? Can you give sort of these folks a picture of what it's like to be in this place? Because it looks like a pretty good place.
Wow. First of all, I need to let you know that God has not done a miraculous deliverance
right.
of our son. He still struggles. I'm not quite sure exactly where he is in his own relationships,
mm-hmm.
because that is his knowledge, and
right.
if he wants to let us know, he can let us know.
Right.
I know it'll be something he will struggle with
mm-hmm.
the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
I have grieved. I think that's
mm-hmm.
one big thing that we need to give parents the freedom to do is to grieve. The hard thing about this issue is no death has taken place, and
mm-hmm.
yet a death has taken place. It's
right.
just not an obvious death.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't understand that they need to have the permission to grieve.
Right.
Things that I heard is, well, he's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
He's still with you. Why are you grieving? And so giving just the permission and the compassion to
mm-hmm.
grieve
mm-hmm.
at first, that when you first find out, it's a shock.
Right.
And something that you just probably never envisioned. And so grieve hard and grieve well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and every loss has a grieving process.
Yeah.
And every
yeah.
grieving process from person to person and issue to issue looks different.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no real cut and dry way to say this is how it's supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we sort of left off last time with parents and roadblocks that get in the way of them getting their own help when they have a child dealing with same-gender attractions, or oftentimes, as we have called it, living in the gay lifestyle or living homosexually, whether they're actually doing that actively or just struggling with it in their head, they need to get their own help and maybe even, safe to say, do their own recovery work.
Yes.
We talked about how roadblocks could be false shame or guilt. You know, not being willing to be open.
Mm-hmm.
What else have you seen?
I think it's good to have a group of friends, not necessarily a large group, that you can share this with. At least
mm-hmm.
somebody or someone or two that can handle the information.
Mm-hmm.
I found that as I shared this, there were people that really couldn't handle that,
mm-hmm.
Especially because we were active in the church and mm-hmm. pretty well known. So we had to be very discerning
mm-hmm.
about who to share this with.
Yeah.
One, for just to be able to grieve and to talk about it, but also for the intercession, having
yeah.
people pray for you.
Right.
Right.
How did you tell the difference? I mean, how could you tell for those listening in kind of the same situation is, how do you know when a person is a safe person for that?
I think it's demonstrated by their life, but also by what you hear them say or not say. I wouldn't go to the person who was always telling gay jokes or sending the emails with a
right.
inappropriate
right.
Mocking. I would just look at their life, someone
mm-hmm.
who is very connected to the Lord
mm-hmm.
and not just living the ritual, someone
right.
who had a prayer life
mm-hmm.
that has prayed for me before,
mm-hmm.
And someone that seemed mature enough to be able to handle the information.
Yeah, Henry Cloud and John Townsend just put out a book called Safe People.
Yes,
and
yes.
So learning how to discern who's safe. You know, you can't cast your pearls before swines.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to put it out there in front of people who can handle it, who feel safe, who you like, who have demonstrated trustworthiness and respectability. So, yeah, that does take a lot of discernment.
And a lot of people, I mean, they may be the people that would bake for, you know, a widow that's lost her husband, and they'll go all out for that. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily always the same person
not
that
the
would
person.
Be compassionate to someone in your situation.
Different skill set.
Yes,
for sure.
Definitely.
And what about just saying, hey, I have something really important that I want to share first, preface it. I need to make sure that, you know, this stays between you and me. Is that
yes.
something that you're comfortable with?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that something I can count on? Absolutely.
Yes.
Preface it. And in the end, it involves risk, no matter how safe you feel with the person.
Mm-hmm.
You can't let that shut you down.
Absolutely.
You are going to still have to take that step. And you know what? It may not work out, but guess what? Our God is bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
He has the grace. You know, He has other people. And He'll probably teach you through that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know I've disclosed my stuff. Well, I do it on the radio now, but I mean, to people when I wasn't so safe doing it en masse. But I mean, one-on-one, and they let me down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, it was painful, but I chose to keep risking. And sometimes you have to do it afraid, as my wife likes
yes.
to say, and,
mm-hmm.
and keep trying. Don't give up. Don't let the enemy would love for you to be shut down and isolated.
Yes.
But God has got so many great people out there to share with, people who are like Jesus with skin on,
mm-hmm.
than He does the stinkers.
Absolutely.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the good outweigh the stinkers.
Yes.
Okay.
Truly.
That's
really.
Right. That should be our new slogan, the Blazing Gray Show, where the good outweighs the stinkers. Right.
That's true.
So
he did give us some safe places to go with this. And
yeah.
then I think just, which was a huge piece of honesty and vulnerability.
Yeah.
I think that began to drop the shrouds that we
right.
had wrapped around us
right.
and our family. Even today, somebody just the other day, I was sharing this, and they said, you know, I always thought your family had it all together. And I said, oh, if you only knew the train wreck we are.
Right.
To be able to just drop that, whatever we're keeping our shame covered with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Perfection or performance.
Right.
And then be willing to, and again, I will say this. I will never say we caused our son's issues, but
right.
we contributed to it.
Sure. It's about looking at your own part.
Mm-hmm.
No parent is the perfect parent.
Right.
And so you are not to blame for your kids' choices or feelings. You can't own anybody's feelings, but you can look at, okay, what was my influence here?
Yes.
How did my baggage, like you mm-hmm. said, come up and factor into this as my parents' baggage factored into my own life? You know, you talked about your mother's grieving process and how that impacted you as, you know, just a toddler.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, get over it. You've made mistakes. Nobody's going to hang you. And people who do try, you know, God's got His eye on them. So, you know, He's got it taken care of. Now, you can be comforted by people, but you've also been comforted by scriptures. And I'm just wondering, you mentioned Isaiah 61. Perhaps there's other scriptures out there that have really comforted you along the process that might be helpful to folks.
Most of Isaiah has been a comfort for me.
Really?
For the message of redemption that God gave to Israel through the prophet Isaiah. So mm-hmm. I have spent a lot of time in Isaiah. The life of Joseph has always been an incredible story of redemption,
mm-hmm.
that what man or others meant for evil, God meant for good. I call
right.
it having 50-20 vision instead of 20-20 vision. That was Swindoll. Thank you.
Yeah.
The promises of I will never leave you or forsake you, and,
yeah.
and the reality that, and I think sometimes when we struggle with this issue of sin, we think that God stands outside in disgust,
mm-hmm.
but He is in the midst of this, and there is nothing we can bring to Him or we can do that God isn't in there with us.
Right.
Just the reality of His presence, because it's been a solitary journey, because just the nature of this, there's not a lot of people you can share it with. I used to say that, you know, if there's a death in the family, people will bring casseroles,
right.
you know, to
mm-hmm.
grieve with you. In this death, there's no casseroles.
Right.
And exactly.
So I had to find comfort in God Himself.
Right.
And so, yes, the scripture became His love letter to me,
mm.
of encouragement, of wisdom,
mm-hmm.
of reassurance, of and just reminding me that the battle is the first. When our son told us, I happened to be in a Bible study, and we were studying the Old Testament, and I was in, I believe it's 2 Chronicles 22, and it's the story of Jehoshaphat.
Mm-hmm.
And I read that day after he wrote us a little letter and said he was struggling. I opened my Bible and fell to that passage, and it said, "The battle is not yours, but mine." Mm. And so that's what I've clung to. That was the promise God gave me on the day that my world fell apart.
Right.
And I still cling to that promise that this is not my battle. It is God's battle.
It's like that song, "The battle belongs to the Lord."
That's exactly it.
I won't
it.
Sing.
Thank you.
Now, here's one thing that I've heard parents or folks who have loved ones who struggle say. I have a friend, for example, that says, "Well, you know, my niece who struggles, she has her partner, and I love her, but we don't feel comfortable having them over to the house because we feel like we're endorsing their relationship and their lifestyle." Where, you know, like Barbara Johnson of Spatula Ministries recently just passed on. She's definitely sitting, I think, maybe just two rows down from Jesus at the max. And you can find her online. She has a lot of advice out there for parents who have kids who are struggling with same-gender attractions or living in the quote-unquote gay lifestyle. You can go online to BarbaraSpatulaJohnson.com. That's B-A-R-B-A-R-A, Spatula, S-P-A-T-U-L-A, Johnson, J-O-H-N-S-O-N.com. She's got a lot of information and help there. But she says, you know, you have to continue to love your children. Love them in every way you possibly can. So those two things don't seem to jive really well. What would you say to my friend who has this struggle with her niece?
I would say that's a highly individual choice. I remember reading Joe Dallas, Dallas's book, and he addressed that issue. And he said he knows Christians on both sides of that.
Right.
Some really feel called to love both their child and their partner and invite them into their home and love them in the essence of loving to Jesus, loving them to Jesus. Others feel that they truly can't, especially if the partner, oftentimes it becomes an abusive codependent relationship.
Right.
And so they have a very difficult time if they should encourage that. So I think it's an individual response to each situation according to the relationship that they find themselves in.
So if you feel like that's where you're at and you can't have them over for whatever reason, whether it's I don't want to endorse their lifestyle, or I'm seeing that they've got some sick dynamics that I don't want to be around or expose my family to, you should not feel guilt about that. Mm-hmm. You really need to be supportive that that is your choice. Yeah, absolutely. That's important.
I had a friend whose the husband was not okay with the partner, and the wife was, and so the wife was trying the best she could, because the husband said my child and her partner is not allowed in this house.
Mm.
The wife, on the other hand, said, "No, I don't feel that way about it." So it put her in a difficult position. So she sought in ways that was appropriate to her husband's own place where he found himself to reach out and still love her daughter and her partner.
Right.
And so it can be very isolated and in individual, even within the family dynamic.
Right.
And we are where we are.
Right.
So.
Amen. Amen.
So have you ever had to come across that with your son?
Yes.
Really?
Okay. Yes.
And would you mind sharing how you handled that? No is an okay answer.
I better refrain on that.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a sticky, awkward situation at times. So, that's fine. Now, we are visiting, if you're just tuning in, with Debbie, who's the mom of a young man dealing with same-gender attractions. So for parents out there of strugglers, we want to support you and encourage you today. Hopefully you've been really encouraged by Debbie and her story and her brilliant sharing here. It's been so heartwarming. But, you know, maybe you have ideas for other shows, whoever you are listening out there today. I mean, we want to hear from you. And we've done all sorts of shows. We don't care what it is. If it has to do with redemption in sexual integrity or some type of issue or some different angle we haven't covered, then we'd love to hear from you. Would you send us an email? Because, even if you're listening online right now, you can take a moment. The show will still play through your speakers. And open up your email. Send us an email with an idea or a suggestion. You can email me, Jason, at help@healingforthesoul.org. Julie, your email address?
is julie@wingsofgrace.org.
Or you can send one to our partner in crime, Mike Janung, who, by the way, is on sabbatical right now. His email is mike@blazinggrace.org. And we are also listener supported. So if you want to help keep us on the air, we're on the air. We've been in LA. We've been in Colorado Springs. We are currently in South Africa. If you want to help us expand the vision of the Blazing Grace Show, we would love your tax deductible support. You can find out more about that at blazinggrace.org and just click the donate tab. But Debbie, you know, in terms of like advice for parents, generally speaking, what do you want to say to them right now? What is your heart for parents who are dealing with kids who struggle with this issue?
I think the thing that surrounds you immediately is just the hopelessness, the guilt. What did I do wrong? Where did this come from? What's so broken about our family? I think be honest with your feelings and don't stuff them. If you need to, you yourself go to a trusted confidant or counselor, somebody that can encourage you to work through your own reaction. And I don't mean response. I mean your gut visceral reaction to the information that you have a child who's struggling. And that's why I love Barbara Johnson. The reason it's spatula ministry is she found herself in a place because she too had a child that struggled. When parents find out about their children, usually need a spatula to pry them off the ceiling. Parents will hit the ceiling, and that's why she calls it spatula ministries. And so you may need some time to be pulled off the ceiling after this. But also realize that we can't fix our children. The greatest, the only change that can come is change that we ourselves can engender. And really, only God transforms us. But we can begin to seek that change. What in me contributed to this whole dynamic? And so
look at James 1. I mean, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials. And if this isn't a trial, I don't know what is. Of many kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance, when it's fully grown, leads to something else. I can't remember the rest of the verse, but you know, look it up. Anyways, a great verse. And
Debbie,
I mean, it speaks.
She taught BSF for a long time.
That's right. You want to quote the rest, Debbie? So, you know, the bottom line here is that we need to take all trials of our life, no matter who we are, if we're a young person, if we're a married adult, if we have kids, if we're grandparents, all trials, including this one, and consider it pure joy. That's the beginning of growth right there. We can't grow in these tough situations without that.
Yeah, and you know, just speaking of just the times that you have taught over the years, and you've been in leadership roles in ministry, I'm curious as to, I know that the enemy typically will come against teachers in those positions and say, who are you to teach this? And you know, first of all, did that happen? And if it did, how did you handle that? How did you work through that?
It did, and it was with a vengeance. I remember at one point in my church, I needed just to step aside until I was assured that this is where God. So I gave up teaching my Sunday school class. My other parachurch organization, I remained in because I went to them and told them what we were struggling with, and they said, no, you need to stay. And they didn't see it as an issue. But the thing that pulled me out of my teaching was my own shame. I mentioned in the last week that I grew up with a measure of shame. This only put it on the exponential radar scope. I mean, the shame that I felt about this pretty much knocked me into paralysis for a while. I had to deal with the shame and know that that God took away my shame. But I believe the lie that I was to be shamed by this, and that I was shameful. Once God broke through that, truly God released me, and with great power and a passion that was new to me to be able to say, God is still on his throne, and he is the answer, and he has the answer. But I was entrapped by the lies of the enemy for a season of my life, and I did. According to what I knew in my own conscience, I needed to step aside and give time, and that was good, because sometimes when you're constantly teaching, you have sometimes very difficult time of silence and solitude, and I went into some silence and solitude just to hear from the Lord on this, which was good.
Yeah. Wow. Were there certain verses that were helpful for you during that time, just to work through some of that shame?
Yes, a lot of verses, but the I think getting back down, it was an encounter. I can remember where I was when mm-hmm. God met me at this. I mean, I was it's clear as the day is where I just realized God took my shame, mm-hmm. and I had been living under the lie that He didn't, and that right. that God was. I was living under the lie that God was ashamed of me.
Right. Mm.
And it was very subtle, and I can remember almost the day that it entered, too. It was, and so it was something that God, in His sovereignty just graciously removed that right. yoke from my neck.
One of the great sources of God's wisdom comes through not just Scripture, but parabiblical work. And I think, I don't know if, if it was Barbara Johnson or Irma Bombeck wrote something with a title, something like, If Life is a Bowl of Cherries, yes. why am I Stuck with the Pits? Or something. Yes. Was that Barbara?
Yeah.
Or it was Irma. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, Barbara writes books like that. Maybe you know some titles that have been helpful to you in your journey out there. What books are you aware of that have been helpful to this end?
For my own personal journey, I love anything by Brennan Manning. Abba's Child,
yeah.
Ruthless
right.
Trust, Ragamuffin Gospel.
Right.
There is a book that's very helpful by Judith Hogan called Transformed Into Fire. Not by fire, but into fire.
Right.
Many of the spiritual formation books, Moon, Benner, then any books on just the issue itself. I've read things by most authors. I absolutely enjoy anything by Cy Rogers. I mm-hmm. really was most helpful. Malcolm Smith has a very good tape series, CD series, on codependency, because that was an issue in my husband's and my relationship, which we then dumped onto our kids as well. The Search for Self-Worth, but it's really a six CD set on self-worth and shame. Talks a lot, and that was very helpful for me as
and
well.
And for a whole bookstore, you can actually go to Exodus International's
yes.
website. They've got a brand new bookstore with a plethora of resources that's online at exodus.to. So www.exodus.to, and just click the bookstore link. And, you know, there's titles out there like, I don't really love this title, but Someone I Love is Gay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great sort of legendary book along these lines. But boy, you know, we've just got a minute. I mean, do you have anything left that you want to say to either strugglers as a mother or to other parents who have kids in the same situation?
I think if I learned anything is to seek the healer and not the healing.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That sums it up, because yeah. I can be healed and still miss the healer.
Amen. Right.
But once I find the healer, in the healer is healing.
Right.
But I can't determine what that looks like. So seek the healer
Amen.
Above all.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like that analogy. You can rearrange the furniture on the Titanic, but it's still going to go down, you know.
Yes.
And it's about the healer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's
Amen.
Really all about Him.
Good news, good news. Well, listen, Debbie, it's been just a blessing and a pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for your story. And thank you for doing the work so that you have something to give, because mm-hmm. you have truly given indeed to us, to our listeners, and I know to your son. So be encouraged.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
So listen, we want to encourage you too. Are you a couple that maybe wants to start working on their own issues? Well, our very own Julie Dozier is doing a couples intensive in September here in the beautiful mountains of Colorado. Come fly in. That's September 20th through the 23rd. I heard you're doing it at a retreat center. Which one are you using?
Hideaway.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's pretty nice, isn't that mm-hmm. in like the Black Forest area?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
All right.
Just feels like you're in the middle of nowhere, and you've got other people going through the same thing, and it's experiential. It's going to be good.
Yeah. Amen. Good. And then if you want to, if you're a guy out there that needs help with sexual integrity, we've got Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend Workshops. Say that 10 times fast. Intensive Weekend Workshops. I'll be in Sacramento September the 7th through the 9th, and then in Santa Ana, California. The October dates are the 5th through the 7th. So for more information, you can see my website, healingforthesoul.org. So God bless you. We will see you next time, and thanks for tuning in to The Blazing Grace Show.
Thank you for tuning in to this edition of The Blazing Grace Show. We trust today's broadcast helps bring you closer to God and to what God desires for your life. Blazing Grace is a listener-supported mission intended to help listeners around the world. Your support is vital in keeping that mission alive. We ask you to prayerfully consider sending a tax-deductible gift to Blazing Grace. It will be gratefully appreciated. Send your monetary gift to Blazing Grace, P.O. Box 62521, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80962-2521. That's Blazing Grace, P.O. Box 62521, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80962-2521. Want to learn more about Blazing Grace? Find us on the internet at www.blazinggrace.org. That's BLAZINGGRACE.org /radio.htm. On that page, you'll find a downloadable copy of this show, or you can visit oneplace.com under Ministries. Look for Blazing Grace Radio. If you want help resolving a sexual addiction, you can reach Jason Graves by dialing toll-free 877-590-SOUL. That's 877-590-7685. Julie Dozier can be reached at 719-266-6636. That's 719-266-6636. Get a copy of Mike's book, The Road to Grace, by visiting roadtograce.com. That's the word to and not the number. Desire for a specific subject to be covered on the show? Email Mike Chenung at mike@blazinggrace.org. We look forward to sharing more blazing issues and grace-filled answers with you next time. Thank you so very much for listening. Tell a friend about the broadcast. On behalf of Jason, Mike, and Julie, may God richly shine His grace upon you.